Hi everyone. So glad to be back. We were in Nashville at Parents Weekend, so we got to see our kiddo. We were so happy about that. But we're back and watched last week's Bible study, Pastor Mike on Samuel. It was so good, so filling, and full of a lot to chew on. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so we are on the last city tonight. The last, not the last piece of this passage, but the last city that was battled before, or the region that was battled before they came full circle back to Gibeon, right? So we kind of started with the battles of Gibeon and what happened there and the people of Gibeon and what they did and all that. And then we kind of came full circle, all these acquisitions of land that the people of Israel had. And then finally back to Gibeon. The last city tonight is Goshen, or the last region that we're going to discuss is Goshen. And just in summary, we kind of began at Makeda. We talked about the shepherd and following the shepherd and what that meant, the Battle of Makeda. Then we went to Lebna, the Battle of Sin and the hold that sometimes sin has on us. Lachish, the battle of self-sufficiency, was there. And then we had Eglon, that was power and strength, right? Hebron, that was facing our giants. We stayed there for a little while, Hebron, right? We talked about God conquering these big, difficult things in our life that sometimes are really difficult to get past, even after we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know personally God used that section to really take on some giants that were sort of remaining in my life. Debir, that was religion and legalism. And Kadesh, unbelief and the wilderness, and what how that relates to our lives. And then ironically and appropriately, we talked about Gaza, this place of deception and judgment. And we talked about Samson and how that was affected. I just want to say there's a lot going on in the world, and I think without talking about specifically what's going on in the world, but it's important that we're reviewing this right now. It's important to see that there is history that goes back in this region thousands of years, actually, not just since the 1900s or 1940s, or where sort of history finds itself defining the current crisis is about 100 years back. But really, this is something that is just very long standing. And as we're speaking right now about the people of Israel taking on the promised land that God gave them, I just think it would get past us not to pray for the people of Israel, the people of Palestine, the people that are dying in this war, in this horrible war, and some of the very awful ideologies that are sort of backing all of this. And so let's just collectively agree to not necessarily take sides, but just to pray that God would intervene, because ultimately there are a lot of people in that region that just don't know Jesus, right? I mean, I hate to like boil it down to such simplicity, but it's true. Joshua has not battled that ground. We're back to kind of square one here today in our modern day, and people need Jesus. And when they do, things will change. And so, Osama and I, that's been our prayer. Our prayer has been, Lord, let's hear of stories of salvation among leadership and groups that are hard and hardened towards one another, harboring hatred towards one another, or revenge or vengeance, whatever it might be. that God would intervene. So again, Gaza has been a long-standing point of conflict, and we discussed that. Today, Goshen is our spot, and let's read this verse in Joshua 10, verse 41. Joshua subdued them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza and from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. Just a couple of things about Goshen, and then Assam's going to take it on here. First of all, there are actually two historical references of Goshen in the Bible. There's Goshen that was in Egypt in Genesis chapter 46, where Joshua, if you recall, was in Egypt after he had been taken a slave. Joseph had been in Egypt after he'd been taken a slave. And this was the moment where his family, his father, Israel, finds out that he's still alive. He finds him in Egypt. They go to Egypt because they're trying to find relief from the famine. And they find Joseph. Joseph finds them. Anyway, they are then given the land of Goshen. And that is the land where they reside for some 300 years or something like that.
In Egypt.
200 years in Egypt. And it's during that time that they resided in Goshen that it's believed that people may have left the place of Goshen in Egypt and settled in the Goshen we are talking about today. Okay. And the reason it's believed this is because it was named Goshen after the Goshen in Egypt. This place that Josh was taking on right now in battle was named after the place Goshen in Egypt. So just important distinction, and actually it really brings us to an understanding of what this battle is about.
So as Dina mentioned, so when Joseph brought his family over, they took the land of Goshen. And because the land of Go the name Goshen means the land of plenty or the land of prosperity and riches, the land there was such a beautiful and rich land that had great agriculture, and this is where they worked as shepherds. However, they were separated. Now we're talking about a completely different Goshen on the other side in the Promised Land. The place, as Dina mentioned, is also named Goshen. So the land of comfort and abundance and peace. That's what it's supposed to be called. That's the meaning of it. They had it in Egypt, and now they have it here. But there are big differences. So today, the battle that what we're gonna discuss today is the change in kingship and authority. Okay, it's a very similar place, very familiar place. Okay, compare the two Goshens, and we're gonna go through it. As the land itself, the same name of the land. It's a land of prosperity. It's the land of big trees and beautiful trees and lakes and all of that good stuff. But there are big differences between the two cities. Okay, so first, let's visit the land, the Goshen of Egypt. The Goshen of Egypt, who was the king of Egypt at the time? Pharaoh. So the Goshen of Egypt had a king, and that king was Pharaoh. Who was the intercessor between the king of Egypt and the people of Israel? Joseph, right? Joseph was the one that brought his people over, brought his family over. And then he intercede between them and Pharaoh to take that land and to live in it. Okay. And were they the owners, the Israelites, were they the owners of the land of Goshen in Egypt? No, they were tenants. They were living there, but it's the land of Egypt. Also, were they commingling with the Egyptians? No, it tells us there that they were actually separated from the Egyptians because their jobs as shepherds kind of a low-end job, so the Egyptians didn't really deal with them. Can you go ahead? And then after Joseph died, while they are in the land of plenty, in the land of Goshen, what happened to the Israelites? They suffered, and they suffered severely. And then they went left from the land of Goshen into the wilderness with Moses. This was the land of Goshen. I mean, obviously, you can see where I'm going with this, right? Okay. Now, the land of Goshen, in the Goshen in the Promised Land. Who is the king of the Promised Land? God himself, right? Now, this is not Pharaoh. This is not the land of Pharaoh. This is not the land of the Egyptians. This is God himself who took them out of Egypt and gave them this new land. Who is the intercessor of the Promised Land? Who is our intercessor in our new Promised Land?
Jesus.
Jesus himself. Jesus himself is sitting and interceding for us in this new life. Who are they, owners of the Promised Land, or are they tenants just living there? They are owners. Let me take you to the land I am giving you, not the land I'm leasing you, not the land that you will rent for a while. No, it's the land that I am giving you. And then they were actually, instead of being looked down upon by the surrounding people, the people of Israel in the land, in the new land of Goshen, in the Promised Land, they were actually feared and respected because of what God has done to them. So their value now is completely different. And then when Joseph died, they lost everything. But when Jesus died, we gained everything. This is a big difference between the Goshen of the land of Egypt and the Goshen of the Promised Land. They left the Goshen in Egypt and went to the wilderness. They left Goshen in the Promised Land and went back to the Gilgal. There are so many spiritual lessons that we can see here that we can learn from. But what we want to focus on today, we're gonna go through this again. But what we want to focus on today, the battle of something similar, the same things. Like, there are things that we talked about before where it has to be completely changed. Makeda is the land of the battle of shepherd. Who is my shepherd? This had to be changed. This is something that you and I had to change in our lives. If the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I am changing my leadership. I am changing the person that I follow. I am changing my thoughts, my mindset. I'm changing everything to follow God as my shepherd. I had to change my mind about sin. In the Battle of Libna, sin no longer controls me. Sin was buried in that grave. Sin has no longer authority over me because of what Jesus did. In the Battle of Lachish, or Lachish, the self-sufficiency. I'm no longer looking at myself and then thinking I got it. No, my sufficiency comes from God. My trust is in God, and my hope is in God, and my strength comes from God. And then when we go and face our giants in Hebron, we know that no one, no weapon formed against us will prosper. We know that our battle is not with blood, flesh and blood, but our battle is with the enemy, with the devil himself, and he was defeated on the cross. So all of these things, and the religion and legalism and Gaza and all of these things, we had to change completely our mindset. Now we're looking at something different. We're going back to something we're like, wait a second, this is the same. So as believers, okay, and we become Christians, we become believers, I'm not gonna go back and say, okay, that's it, I'm quitting my job. That's it. I'm leaving my wife. That's it. I have to change my car. I have to change my house. I have to change this. I have to change that because I'm a new creation. No, we're going back to the same stuff that we had before. However, now there is a different king over these things. It's the same thing, guys. Goshen was the same, almost the same exact thing. Goshen of Egypt, a land for shepherds, a land full of greens, a land full of prosperity, a land full of great things, right? Goshen in the promised land. So such, it's the same exact thing. But the mindset, the kingship, how we're treated there, how we are living there, that's what's different. Now, this is when we apply everything that we learned in the previous battles in this battle. So when I am dealing with my wife, let's just take marriage, for example. I think almost everyone here is married, or maybe. When I'm dealing with my wife, or everyone is working, when I'm dealing with my job, or when I'm dealing with my neighbor, something that is going to be there, you know, before I became a believer and after I became a believer, I'm going back. Oh, my neighbor is still the same. Yeah, my neighbor is still the same, but I am changed. I am different. You know, my wife is the same. That's correct, but I am different. I am treating her as God's daughter. I am treating her as a queen, someone who has inheritance from God. If she is the daughter of the king who was given the inheritance in Christ, I'm looking at her different. I'm dealing with her different. I fear God in her. I treat her with the same way I would treat Jesus, because she is his daughter. You know, we always say this, one of the things that really can connect us or disconnect us from people, the way they treat our children. You know, because to us, our children are actually more important than me myself. So if you can be nice to me, but if you're rude to my child, that's difficult. That's going to be a difficult relationship to have, you know. So how do we deal with God's children? How do we deal with each other? How do we deal with our brothers and sisters? They're the same people. Goshen, it's the same, but I am different. I have changed. I am looking at things in a different way. Going back to before that comparison, who is the king over this new life? Is it Pharaoh? They emigrated from their land to the Goshen of Egypt. They found themselves under the authority of Pharaoh. Now we see this new generation emigrating from Egypt, or from the wilderness actually, to the promised land. Who is the king over their life? There is a change of kingship. In my new life, everything that I'm learning, everything that I'm doing, I could be going to the same job. I could be driving the same car. I could be going to the same gym. I could be having the same neighbor, same coworker, same boss, but now I have a different king. I have someone completely different, controlling my thoughts, controlling my motives, controlling my words, controlling the things I say. My trust is no longer in man. Joseph was a great man, one of the best to ever be born and to follow God. But my intercessor, someone who's completely different. Now I'm putting my eyes on Jesus. Now I am believing that even when I fall, Jesus is up there interceding for me. I get my confidence in my relationship with God, not because of the things that I did, not because of what Joseph did, not because of what a relative of mine did, not because of my pastor is preaching, not because of how big or small my church is. I get my confidence because of the full work that Jesus did on the cross, right? This is a difference between our life in the Goshen of Egypt, and our life in the Goshen of the Promised Land. I'm no longer tenant. I'm no longer someone who's visiting. This is my new life. This is the abundant life that God has given me. So make yourself comfortable, because this is the new life. Everything we're learning, look at everyone around you. This is your family. This is your family right here. and it's a small part of the bigger family. So make yourself comfortable. Make yourself comfortable in the Word of God because this is your new law. Make yourself comfortable in the things of God because these are the things you're going to be practicing and doing for the rest of your life. This is a new land that you actually own, not to just live in. You know, as you guys know, we traveled, I traveled so much this year. We traveled so much this year, whether it's work or, you know, dropping off Elijah or seeing Elijah. We traveled so much. I feel like I don't want to see a suitcase again, right? And just the second you come home, there's this feeling where you can just actually sleep and you actually rest because this is your home. It could be, you could be in the most wonderful hotel, a 5-star or a 7-star hotel, if there's such a thing, but you're not as comfortable as home. This is your new home. The life you are living right now in the promised land is your new life. So be comfortable. You're not leaving. I'm not leaving. The people that are around you right now, if you're annoyed by someone, you better bring it up because guess what? They're not going anywhere. And you don't want them to go anywhere. They're not just neighbors for a year or two. They're your neighbors for eternity. And they were separated from the Egyptians in the land of Egypt because of what they did, because of their job, because the Egyptians looked down on those who, the Israel, on the shepherds. In this new land, we are anointed as kings and priests. This is our new job. This is your new job. This is my new job. The things we do from 8 to 5, this is just occupation. This is what we do for a living. But who we are, what we do for life, or we became kings and priests. This is our new job. I forgot to tell you this maybe at the end, in the beginning. So of the meeting, you might need to change your business cards because you have a new job. You are a king, you're a priest, you're a child of God. You're a child of God in this new land we're living. New Goshen is different. The new life that you and I have are completely different. When Joseph died, they suffered and suffered severely. It says this in Genesis that a new Pharaoh who came, who did not know Joseph, did not know the history of Joseph, gave them burdens, treated them with harshness. Okay? But when Jesus died and paid for your sin and my sin, the temple was split open. There is no longer a place to stop me from the presence of God. So when Jesus died on the cross, you and I have now a wide open door to the presence of God. The old Pharaoh for in the old Goshen was very harsh to them. They had no access to him. There is no kindness towards them. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, now you and I have a complete and total access to the presence of God. They left there to the wilderness, but these new Goshen were going from there to the Gilgal. It's a completely different life. It's a completely different life. Our battle now, this new battle is even if we are surrounded by things that are very, very similar, even if it's the same house, even if it's the same wife, even if it's the same neighbor, even if it's the same everything. A lot of times when we preach the gospel, we give this idea that you wake up tomorrow morning and everything is going to be new. No. Everything around you is very much going to be the same. The newness is going to be inside of you. You are going to have a new shepherd. You are going to have a new God. You're going to have a new intercessor. You are going to have a new heart. You are going to have a new confidence and faith. Everything around us are going to look the same. A lot of people go to revivals, give their life to the Lord, go through the motions, thinking that tomorrow morning, everything is going to be new. They wake up, it's the same bed, it's the same alarm, It's the same coffee. It's the same job. It's the same annoying boss. It's the same annoying everything. Yeah, it is. It is. Goshen is the same, but you are going to be different. You're going to look at things differently. You're going to operate with things differently. This is a battle that God really, may God help us to really open our hearts and mind to this new battle, to this new mindset, this new heart that God needs to give us. That even though things are the same, but we're going to be that change.
So Goshen here is the change of authority in the things that are unchanged. So there are things that are unchanged in our life that Assam mentioned, so many of them, but the authority is what's different.
That's right.
Because Goshen in Egypt, the authority over Goshen in Egypt was Pharaoh. They had to have an intercessor in Joseph. Here we see who's taking this battle. It says it in that verse. It's Joshua. And we know what Joshua stands for in these battles. We've talked about it over and over. Joshua is the image and the symbol, the type of person of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is taking authority over the things, the situations that haven't been changed. It is where kingship has changed. The very nature of the overseeing power of this place, this temple that is you and I, is now Jesus. But the things around us haven't really changed, have they? And so it's an interesting battle to sort of like, end our battles. And we'd like to really open it up to talk about the Goshen that we have to take on. So unmute yourselves, feel free to discuss, ask questions. Let's go through this.
You said the change of authority of what, Tina?
So I said that Goshen is the change of authority
Over me.
over me in the things that are in the situations that have not changed in my life. It's the act of putting these major things that aren't going to change, as Assam said. Our marriage, our parenting, our jobs, our neighbors, to understand that as the authority over my life has changed, that is going to be the catalyst for newness in this. These things aren't going to change. I'm not going to change my marriage. I'm not going to change my children or my home. All of those remain the same. Goshen in the two places were just almost identical. But the difference of Goshen's were the authority over them.
So here's a question. Okay. Is Goshen then this change of authority over me? And the things in my life, is this the result? Is this the fruit of all the previous things like Makeda and Libna and Lachish and so on? Is this the result of me having authority over identifying who my shepherd is and then dealing with sin and then self-sufficiency and all the rest of it? Is this the result of, or is this something I'm intentionally trying to achieve in my life?
Well, I think our eyes were opened and we've w gone through all these battles. So I think it could go either way. It's the result of what happened, but also it's something that I practice daily
Okay.
because all of these battles are not something that, oh, it's one and done. Our Christian walk is never one and done. It's a daily battle. So it tells us after we were equipped with all these things, after we won all these battles, now we go to Goshen. Now we operate differently. But guess what? It's going to come up every single day. All of these and probably more, as we will see next, all of these and more will come. But guess what? it's now we're under a different kingship. We have a different intercessor. We have a different God. We have a different Lord that govern our minds and our hearts that will take us to, that will help us with these battles as they come.
The way I'm tending to see this, the way that you have described it, and in my mind this visual is that this is the fruit of John 15, when he's saying, "Abide in me and I abide in you, and then you will bear much fruit," because this is, you initially said, this is the land of the abundance, as it was in Egypt.
That's right.
And abundance is not something that I can try and muster up. I can't muster up all of this that comes up out of my life. I think as I tackle the previous things that we discussed, I think this becomes the result of something. Although you're right, I'm aware of it now. I'm paying attention to it now. But it's not something that I can't muster this up. I can't have find enough strength within me to go, I'm going to treat my neighbors differently tomorrow. I'm going to see my boss differently tomorrow. I'm going to treat so and so differently tomorrow. It doesn't come like that. Because you actually said something else that was very, very important. You said, when I see her as the daughter of the king. So it's, in other words, it's the result of something, not me trying to create something. And I'm just thinking out loud with you here. I'm not coming with
No,
all this.
yeah,
Great.
this is good.
Yeah, we just brought the highlight and we depend on everyone else to, you know,
Fill in the blank.
and to open our eyes to the rest of it.
Yes.
But you're right. It is a daily thing because we don't just deal with the issue of sin and who our shepherd is and all that stuff just one time and you're done. It's a daily thing.
Right.
It's a daily, daily thing.
Anybody else have more insight on Goshen?
You know what comes to mind is striking, and then this again, it's not really a question, but when the Israelites were in Egypt and the plagues were hitting the Egyptians, none of those plagues came into Goshen. That's right. And the one that boggles my mind the most is the one where it says for 3 days, I think it was plague number nine, for 3 days they couldn't see their hands in front of their face. It was so dark, the Egyptians. But there was absolute perfect normal light happening in Goshen. Talk about a miracle. Right? That's just like saying in La Mirada it was like this, but in Norwalk it was like that.
Yeah,
Well,
exactly.
how? We're like neighboring cities, so how does that work? But definitely the land of abundance.
Honestly, there's so much in the land of Goshen. I mean, just from as if we're talking about the land of Goshen from Egypt, there's so much to dig and look through there. So if you have some time and you want a great Bible study, it's a great one to do. We didn't want to throw everything in today, but there's just so much that I think we can take and apply to our lives today. Just based on what God did in that land.
We have some pastor friends that sometimes when they pray, they'll pray a blessing and they'll pray that this home is a Goshen,
Oh, wow, really? Oh,
that this
never
place will be a
heard
place of abundance and flourishing and God's
of
blessing and protection and provision and all the rest of it.
that. Oh, good.
So yeah, the place of Goshen, which I think
Which
is
is
pretty.
Why it's kind of it was curious to me as we read this. I mean, I struggled with it as we were reading through it and studying it this week, because it was like, well, why is Goshen being battled over here? You know, this new Goshen, why are we seeing a battle of Goshen over here? And I really believe the Holy Spirit kind of shined the light of like the issue of kingship and authority and how that was different from one Goshen to the next. And how important that is, that it could be a land of abundance. It could be great and wonderful things, but Joshua has to take authority of that place for it to really see the fullness of God.
This, I think, lines up a little bit with Sunday's message, where the Apostle Paul is saying, it's not I, but it's the sin in me. And he's not copping out. He's not saying it's my evil twin. He's not saying it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde scenario. He's saying, no, I own the sin, but that's not my truest self. Because of the transformation that took place, I'm under new kingship.
Yes.
I'm under new authority, and I need to make that distinction, because if I don't, the enemy tends to sit on my shoulder and let me think that I am so much less than everyone else, that I am so bad, that I am so distant. And with all that, it drives me away from the place of blessing and abundance, and not to the place of blessing and abundance, because of the whole kingship thing. So again, I'm just so amazed at how Romans connects in with the book of Joshua. And
that's been happening a lot, right?
It has. It's been really helping us to take on what rightfully belongs to us.
Right. And you know, it's a great answer.
I'm really trying not to preach.
Huh? No,
it's a great answer to the, I don't know, to this belief that the Christian life is the life of, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, like
ease.
Huh? Not ease, actually. No, just the life of hardship, the life of lack, and no, it's actually the opposite. I mean, it just Psalm 23, that was just, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. You know, it's the land of abundance. When God is the Lord, when we have kingship with Him, when He is our Lord, you know, we live in abundance. We live in abundance, even if we are actually in need of things that in this world, but we still live in abundance. We see things differently. We see the true value. We see the true riches. We see the true way to be respected. It's not because how much we have or what we drive or where we live. It's about what God has done in us and how we're impacting the world around us. That's the true success. That's the true abundance. You know, that's the true riches that we can look for. Because
that's what Philippians was referring to when Paul says, I've learned how to be in need and I've learned how to abound. In other words, have plenty. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where that verse really comes from. He's saying, I've learned how to be content. And godliness with contentment is great, great gain, because it's not the riches that the world would consider riches, but there's a riches of peace and a riches of knowing that I do have a shepherd who's going to take care of every need that I have. And he's going to do it his way based on my story, the way that he wrote my story.
That's
right. So.
And the thing that I also really like here is the last part, that where everyone from young to old went where? To Gilgal. Went back to the Gilgal. Do you remember what the Gilgal is? What was that? What happened there? When they first crossed the Jordan, they had to do what at the Gilgal? They had to put the 12 stones to remind them of what God has done with them. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but it was the place they were what? Circumcised. This is the place of remembering what God has done for me. And this is the place where I put my flesh to death. You know, and this is amazing. I think this goes back to the first question that you asked. Is it the result or is it the beginning? You know, as long as we go back to the Gilgal, as long as we have it in our heart to go back to the goodness of God, the miracles of God, what God has done with us, and the continuous miracles that He does every second of the day, and I mean it, every second of the day, because every breath that you and I take, every second for that, it's a miracle. Really, it's a miracle, because you and I have no idea the amount of evil forces that are standing against us. And God is protecting us every second of the day. If you don't believe that, maybe you should ask God to reveal that to you. You know, I think I've shared with you guys many times where we were, or Elijah or Gracie, we were just second, like less than seconds away from disasters, and we were protected. That's the protection of God. That's the grace of God. That's the help of God. We need to go back to El Gilgal. We need to see his goodness. We need to remember his goodness. And when we see his goodness and we remember his goodness, I'm going to try to put to death anything that could separate me from him. And I know that the number one thing that could separate me from him is what? Is me. Is the flesh. Get, went back to the Gilgal. Went back for camping. Went back to, you know, Lord, I see what you've done in my life. These battles from the river to Jericho to Gibeon to the five kings to this to that, I see that this is your hand. You know, the relationship I have with my spouse, the relationship I have with my brothers and sisters, the job I have, everything that I have, Lord, everything that is good in my life comes from you. Help me to not take any of it in pride. Help me not to take any of it in gratitude and use it for the wrong things. Putting my flesh to death again and again and again. It's a battle. To go back to El Gilgal is a battle. Because you could just dwell in one of those cities. You can just dwell in one of those things. It's great. But we need to go back to Gilgal. We need to go back to our foundations. We need to go back to where it all started. Mm-hmm. Remembering the goodness of God, experiencing the goodness of God, focusing on meditating on the goodness of God, and make sure that this flesh is under control.
Better question.
Yeah.
So we're called to live in the land of abundance as believers, but there are times that we live in poverty instead of abundance. So what can cause that? And more so like spiritual poverty. So what can cause someone to be living within abundance, but walking out or living out poverty? And how do we overcome that?
A great question.
So you're destined for greatness, you're destined for abundance, but you're living in spiritual poverty. Mm-hmm. You're asking why, or how do you get out of it?
How does this happen when we're called to live in abundance? And how do I overcome the mentality of this poverty or the spiritual poverty that I'm in? How do I overcome?
You have.
Yeah.
That's a full-on sermon by itself right now.
Yeah. It's a good question.
I have a quick answer for you. Let's go back to Makeda.
Yeah.
That I need to accept that I am the sheep and he is the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
I need to surrender to his guidance. I need to surrender to wherever he takes me, I will go with him, because he knows the best way. He knows that where is he taking me? He's taking me to the prosperity, to the riches. He's taking me to the green pastures. He's taking me to the still waters. He's taking me there. A lot of times we don't live this spiritual prosperity because we're trying to live it on our own, not surrendering to the shepherd. Or because there's sin in my life that I refuse to give up. And we can find that in Lebanon. You know, there is something in my life that I'm refusing to give this up. I can't. I don't want to. Even though I can, even though God can deliver me, even the battle is won, but I don't want to deliver. I don't want to be delivered. Also, right after that, feeling like maybe I can just do this on my own. Maybe I can achieve prosperity on my own. That's self-sufficiency. And that's another battle that they went through. Maybe I'm looking for the wrong way to gain my power and strength. But we all know it's not by might or power, but by the spirit that lives in me. Because I can't defeat the flesh on my own. I can't defeat the world. I can't defeat the enemy. but the spirit can. And then you can go on and on and on and on. Just all the battles. I think all these battles will lead us to the place of prosperity. And if there is still poverty in my life, then I need to examine my life. Where am I lacking in this? Is it because I'm not following the shepherd? Is it because of a sin? Is it because disbelief? Is it because lack of faith? Is it because of Gaza? Whatever it is, I need to examine my heart. I need to come and surrender to God and say, search me, Lord, and test my heart. It shouldn't be. Something is off. Something is off. If God promised spiritual prosperity, he can provide spiritual prosperity. If I'm not living that spiritual prosperity, then something is lacking and something is off.
Yeah, I mean, I think spiritual poverty, if you will, is a symptom, right, of something that must be deeply rooted, or a problem that has deeper roots. You kind of see it in certain believers often. I think I feel like I've experienced that where you're like, oh, you're living in you're not living in abundance spiritually, because there's actually probably something else going on that's creating this lack in your spirit life. And it's just it's merely a symptom of maybe one of these other things that are an issue. So it really, it's time to examine your heart. You know, it's time, if someone is living that way, it's time for an examination of your heart and your life, and kind of going through these things and seeing where there's lack, or where there's a stronghold, or where there's a giant, or where there are those things. I don't know. That's just my insight of it. Anybody else have anything else for that question?
You know, for about 4 weeks, I've been coughing. It's very hard to sleep. It's very hard to breathe. And Dina keeps saying, you need to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor. You need to go. I'm like, oh, it's easy. It's easy. It's nothing. It'll just go away. It's just a little cough. It will go away. For 4 weeks, I'm sitting there suffering, really, like, can't work out the way I do, can't sleep, can't breathe, you know, coughing all the time, having these coughing attacks in the middle of the night. And then finally I said, okay, fine, I'll go to the doctor. Went to the doctor, found out exactly what I have, you know, found out the infections, found out the what I need. Gave me medication. I've been on the medication, and here I am feeling much, much better. And I started feeling much better after maybe 5 days or so of taking the antibiotics. I could have done that a month ago, but I was stubborn. I didn't want to go. I thought I got it. I thought I'm just gonna, you know, like, take care of it. And I'm gonna, like, you know, that you get sick, you just go sweat it out. Go to the gym, work out, sweat it out. No, that was dumb. You know, you're sick, you go to the doctor. You don't go to the gym. But that's my stubbornness. That was my mistake. I didn't submit to the doctor. I didn't listen to the wisdom of, you know, the person who just very simply saying, when you're sick, you go to the doctor. You don't go to the gym. I had it all twisted. Seriously, I would tell her that. No, I'm just going to get up in the morning. I'm going to have a good workout. I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to be great. And guess what? The rest of the day, I can't even move. Because that was not the right medicine. That was not the right way to deal with it. So,
I think another thing is sometimes we carry on what we can say an orphan spirit. You know, we have this mentality or an idea. We don't know who our father is. Because once I can recognize his role in my life, who God is as a father, I think that changes everything. But if there is a disconnection or a separation between me and him, then I don't know my, you know, where I belong in the situation. So therefore I am living below what God has in store for my life, because I can't see myself in that place. Does that make sense?
It's the Battle of Goshen, actually, is what you're talking about. I mean, really, it's about who's understanding whose authority I'm under, right? That true understanding.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else?
Anyone else? So good news is that, bad news is that our looks are going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. Our jobs probably will stay the same. Everything will stay the same. But the good news is we're going to see it different. Mm-hmm. We're going to see it from a completely different view, because we're going to be under the kingship of God. We're going to have so much confidence walking into this life, walking into this job, walking into this neighborhood, walking into this family. We're going to have such a different look at it, because we are filled with the Spirit of God. We're surrendered to the Spirit of God, and we're following the great shepherd himself.
Amen. All right, going once, going twice. Anybody have anything else? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for, Lord, just clearly shining a light on so many battles that you have for us in this text, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that as we learn today to take all the unchangeable situations in our life and put them under your authority to make sure that you are king over all, Lord, I just ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our spirits to allow you to do that in every space that you have, Lord. We know that you are pursuing us, that you have great and wonderful things for us as we walk with you, Lord. And so we just thank you so much for this word. And I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would bring it to the heart and mind of every one of your children that's here on this call, every home, every marriage, every business, every situation, Lord, that you would bring it into full understanding in their hearts and minds, in our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We pray for people that are a world away, suffering in a war, yes, Lord, right, Jesus. Now, in Jesus' name, would your hand be on them, be on the families and children, and Lord, full of anxiety, Lord, peace and comfort to your people, to your land, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.